Today we will be welcoming our new interim pastor, and I'll introduce him in just a few minutes. I want to welcome everyone who's joining us via Facebook, and if you'll look further down on our Facebook page, you can get a copy of the bulletin and be able to follow along and sing with us. So first I want to thank the members of the staff team who were so willing to take on the task of also the interim pastor search committee and were so dedicated to finding the person God was calling to join us here at First Presbyterian. That's Charles Allgood, Bob Hubbs, Jody Johnson, Sally Manley, Turner Plunkett, and Robert Smalley. There's not a finer group of folks that I'd serve on a committee with. After our interview with Ken McKenzie, when everyone turned and looked at me and said, "We're done here," I knew there was no need to look any further. So it is my pleasure to introduce our new interim pastor, the Reverend Dr. Kenneth "Ken" McKenzie. He's a Georgia native and a graduate of the University of Georgia. That hurt. Go Vols. Ken is married to the former Vicki Davis of Dalton. Ken and Vicki were married in our church in 1978 and have two sons, Mac and Ian. Ken completed his residency in clinical chaplaincy in 1978 at Athens General Hospital in Athens, Georgia, and received his doctorate in ministry in 1982 from Union Theological Seminary in Richmond, Virginia. He was ordained as a minister of the Word and Sacrament in that same year. He has pastored Presbyterian churches in Greensboro, North Carolina, and throughout Georgia in Atlanta, Bainbridge, Rome, Brunswick, Pooler, and Rockmart. He has served the Presbyterian Church in numerous positions, including General Presbyter of the Savannah Presbytery, and has been very involved with the Ministry of Presbyterian Disaster Assistance. Beginning in 2014, he served Memorial University Medical Center in Savannah as a clinical trauma chaplain. In 2019, Ken honorably retired in order to move to Atlanta to assist for caring with his father until his death in October 2019. Ken and Vicki enjoy their retirement home in the beautiful mountains of Blue Ridge and are looking forward and are excited about joining us here at First Presbyterian as we plan for our future. I also want to recognize and welcome Wilson Kennedy, General Presbyter of Cherokee Presbytery, who will be joining us later in the service as we begin this interim ministry. A couple more announcements. There's some announcements in the front of your bulletin. One announcement that is not there is that the Dalton High Chorus Holiday Concert will be this Tuesday at 6, November the 29th. Admission is free, and both Adam Burnett, who has been taking care of duties for Kristen Passmore while she and Chance have been taking care of their baby, are key elements in that concert, and it will be a great way to start off your Christmas season. So I encourage you to attend that. Are there any more announcements? Leanna?
Just a few more.
Very good. Are there any other announcements? If there aren't any, then let's take a few minutes and greet each other. Peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you. May the peace of Christ be with you. That was lovely. Thank you.
Please stand for the lighting of the Advent candle. We light the candle of hope as a sign of the coming light of Christ. As the Lord has promised in days to come, the nations shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn nor anymore. Let us pray. God of the ages, Lord of our history, help us to hear your voice and know your will. Speak to us as you have in the past, reminding us of your faithfulness even in the midst of our weakness. In this season of Advent, give us waiting and watchful hearts that we may properly prepare ourselves for your coming. Help us to learn patience and expectation, to practice kindness even in the midst of our perceived obligations and busyness. We ask this in the name of our coming Lord. Amen. Amen.
At horns in
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, praying first in silence. And together we pray. In the quietness of this place, O Lord, we face the darkness of our souls. We admit that much of the darkness is of our own making and enjoyment. We confess that it would be much easier to let things be and add even more darkness to our depths. Yet you call us and offer us the light of your love and forgiveness. In that call, we find that the weight of our sins can be lifted and our burdens removed. Free us, we pray, from all that binds us, and help us to find new life in your recreating love. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Now we will have one of my favorite parts of worship, and that's the time with the children, where the children can come down and the parents can get anxious. Well, we're going to gather around the rocking chair here. I don't sit on steps as well as I used to. So come on over, a little bit closer. Ah, oh, that feels good. This is a comfortable place. Do you have a comfortable place at home that you like to go to? What is it, Lila?
The
place with a lot of fluffy blankets. Oh, that does sound nice. How about you, Hannah? Do you have a special place? You don't have to answer if you can't think of. And what is your name? Hayden?
No.
Haynes. Oh, okay. Yeah, you got to speak directly into the hearing aids. I'm sorry. Haynes, do you have a special place you like to be? Where is that?
My
Your house is a special place. With your sister's baby?
No, with my sister's baby.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry? You made him a little box. Okay. Your sister made you a house. That is wonderful. Well, you know, I've got several comfortable places that I like to go, and I think one of my favorites is going to be this rocking chair.
But then we had to throw it away because it was sort of getting
ripped. Oh, you know, that's the problem with a house made of a box. It starts to rip after a while. Okay, we're not going to get into family squabbles up here, but you know. There is a comfortable place, and you know, church is a comfortable place for me because I've been doing this kind of work for a long, long time. And I always come back to church. Even when I'm not serving as a pastor, I go to church because it's a comfortable place. Because it's a place where I know people and they know me, and it's a place where I can be with God because God knows me and I know a little bit about God, I think. And it's a wonderful time just to be together. And so as we start our time together, we don't know how long it will be. It may be some months, it may be a year, but it's going to be fun. I want you to know that I'm going to do everything I can to make this a comfortable and fun place for you to be here. And I am so glad to meet you. Now, what shall we call each other? You are Lila, you are Hannah, you are Haynes. And what do you want to call me? Well, my name is Ken. And I kind of go by that, but sometimes parents want you to be a little more formal with the guy who has a flea collar around his neck.
Well, my mom has a friend, and her name is Kim.
Okay, that's close. Well, you know, I have been called a lot of things by a lot of people over the years. But sometimes people have called me Pastor Ken, that's a good one, or Dr. Ken, I don't really care for that one. I don't generally do the Reverend or the Doctor because the Reverend tends to put you up on a pedestal and the Doctor scares small children. So mostly I go by Pastor Ken or Ken.
Children, you're scared of shots.
Huh? Are you scared of shots? You know what? I am too. I don't like shots.
And also, doctors don't scare kids.
Oh. Well, let's do this.
Well, they can when they might have to get shots.
When they might have to get shots, it's scary. Yes, I know. I think we're kind of losing control here, aren't we? Oh, yeah, I got a flu shot, too, and I got my COVID shots, and I got more shots than I care to think about. But let's have a prayer, okay? Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads.
Two?
Oh, Haynes, you're a veteran, aren't you? Yes.
I'm not a veteran.
Yes, you are. You got two shots. You're a shot veteran. Okay, let's bow our heads and have a prayer. Yes. Holy God, we thank you for your presence.
We thank you for your presence.
We thank you for your joy.
We thank you for your joy.
And we ask you to bless all of these, your smaller servants. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And I will see you next Sunday, okay? All right.
But I know we might be at school, you know.
Oh, might be. Jesus loves me.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own, speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2. Listen for God's word. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." Our second scripture reading comes from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 13. Listen for God's word. "Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is already the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk decently as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in illicit sex and lasciviousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
my gratitude to Adam and the choir. I remember from this past time when I was here in the summer, I believe it was, the choir was one of the highlights of the day for me, with the exception, of course, of the congregation. But I would like to take a moment and thank you for allowing me the honor and the privilege of being your interim pastor. I am looking forward to this. I do live in Blue Ridge, and Blue Ridge is an interesting community. It's a big tourist trap. But there are some of us who live there year-round. By and large, they are people, or we are people, who were rejected by the French Foreign Legion. We're trying to get away from our former jobs and our former problems, and some of us just disappear into the woods, and the French Foreign Legion wouldn't take us, so there we are. But thank you for letting me, as my wife says, come out and play. Miss Vicky sends her compliments. She cannot be here today. She is running a little bit of a fever and suffers from long COVID. So she will be here. We are hoping for next Sunday. Now, she did tell me, she said, now, when you get to First Dalton, I don't want you to say a word about the Georgia Tech game. And we call Vicky, Vicky the Good, because she's always looking after people. And I promised her I would not say a word about the Georgia Tech game. But if I were to say a word, that word would be woof. So with that behind us now, let us continue with the scripture lesson taken this morning from the 24th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, reading from the 36th through the 44th verse. Listen for the word of God. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. The two will be in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken and one left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. By your power, O God, you come to us in your time and in your way. So help us, we pray, to sense your eternal presence today and every day. And may we lead lives that are pleasing in your sight until that day when you come again. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Well, I've told you a little bit about Blue Ridge now, and one of the social highlights of my day is to go to the Conoco station, also known as the Co. for those of us who are in the know. And outside the Co., on a bench that advertises Jerry's Mountain Furniture, sits a group of three to four, sometimes five, gentlemen of undetermined age. They are what I call the Council of the Wise. They pontificate there on everything known to humanity and some things not. They have an opinion, and sometimes they will voice those opinions at the slightest provocation. And sometimes they are known to ask questions of passers-by, like myself. I'm a regular there because Miss Vicky likes to have a fountain Diet Coke every morning. She's like the old Atlanta ladies who, if they did not have a 6-ounce Coca-Cola in a glass bottle by 10 o'clock in the morning, they would just dry up and blow away. She's from Dalton. I don't know how she got that predilection, but she did. And so I was going to pick up my 32-ounce Diet Coke that Miss Vicky requires, and I was walking past the Council of the Wise. Now, they don't know that I'm a pastor. I don't advertise that in my home territory, because then people want to know if they're going to heaven or to hell. And I tell them that I'm in sales, not management. Thank you very much. And they might not like the answer I would give them. So anyway, I'm walking past. Here's just old Ken McKenzie in his blue jeans and t-shirt and flip-flops, which is my normal attire. And they stop me and they say, "Hey." I said, "Hi." I said, "You think we're living in the last days?" And I had just finished reading my news feeds from all over the world that talked about the war in Ukraine, the COVID pandemic, and many other evidences of man's inhumanity to man. And I said, "I certainly hope so." Well, that kind of took them aback. Hadn't expected that. They said, "Well, the signs are all around us, you know. The Antichrist is over there in Russia, and it's plagues, and it's wars, and it's rumors of wars, and it's earthquakes in strange places." And I said, "Yeah, I know." I said, "Kind of makes you hopeful, doesn't it?" And they looked at me again and said, "No, not really. Because the second coming of Jesus ain't going to be very good for you, whoever you are." So, on that cheery note, we begin the Advent season with that question on our lips, whether you admit that you ask it or not: are we in the last days? And I'm going to give you the best answer any preacher can, and that is, I have no idea. None. I have carefully nurtured my ignorance throughout my life. It is one of my stellar qualities. I don't know. There's a lot of things I don't know about, and that's one of them. I don't know about computers. I don't understand them in the least. Thank the Lord we have Alex over here. Alex, you have my undying admiration. I don't understand how cell phones work. I don't understand fifth grade math. I learned that early on when my boys needed help with mathematics and turned them over to Miss Vicky real quick. What is this new math stuff? I don't understand the old math. So anyway, I don't know if we're in the last days. And you know what? I'm comfortable with that. I am completely comfortable with the fact that Jesus says no one knows the day or the hour, not even the Son of Man nor the angels in heaven, but God only. And let me tell you, sometimes God plays his cards close to his chest. We aren't gonna know, and that's okay. That is perfectly okay. How many of you read that series, the Left Behind series? Oh, come on, I know better. Wasn't there just a little bit of curiosity on your part about what the Tim LaHaye and Hal Lindsey crowd is up to lately? I actually began to read the first book. And let me tell you, I decided to leave behind the left behind. Because for all our desire to know what's going to happen in the coming years and decades and eons, it's not anything that we are in control of. The only thing we can do is to follow the advice of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, be ready. People have interpreted that in a whole lot of really weird ways. People go to the mountain, they sell off all of their stocks, their bonds, their cars, their houses, and they sit there and they wait for Jesus to come. And guess what? They sit there on that mountain without stocks or bonds or cars or houses for a long time. And that, you know, some sins bring their own punishments, to my way of thinking. Being stupid is kind of, sort of, somewhat a sin. Having no common sense about you is kind of, sort of, somewhat a sin. Because God gave you a brain. It's that marvelous thing behind our eyes, between our ears, and in front of the back of our heads. And God wants us to use it. And God does not want us to use it worrying about what's going to happen in the future that is none of our business anyway. I know four things about the second coming of Jesus Christ, okay? Are you taking notes? Here they go. First of all, it's going to happen. We don't know when, we don't know how, only the Father knows, but it's going to happen because Scripture says so, okay? Second of all, again, nobody knows when or how. We never have, we never will. The third thing that we know is that we are called to be ready for it whenever it happens. And the fourth thing is, when it does happen, God has revealed himself to be a God who is merciful and just. And here's the kicker. When it happens, God is completely capable of handling the entire affair without our assistance. So we don't need to worry. We are coming into the Advent season, which is a season not of desperation and waiting fearfully for the second coming of Jesus. It's a time to prepare our hearts to do a mid-course correction if need be, and to examine ourselves in the sure and certain knowledge that despite it all, God loves us. Many, many years ago, when I was a child, my father and mother decided it would be fun to take up a new hobby, the hobby of sailing, on Lake Allatoona. Now, Lake Allatoona has sometimes been called the Dead Sea. By fishermen, because I've never caught much of anything on Lake Allatoona, and by sailors, because the wind just seldom blows there. I don't know what the topography is like, but my father and mother bought this thing called a Y Flyer. It's a racing boat. the only racing boat I've ever seen that has an average speed of negative knots. And they would go and they would get in this boat, and my job would be one of two things, either to paddle when the wind died or to bail from one of the many holes in the hull of this boat. We had a huge sponge, half the size of my corposity, that I used to bail out this wooden boat. But I did learn one thing. And that is, when you're sailing, you never go from point A to point B in a straight line. There is always this thing called tacking, where you move with whatever wind may be prevalent,
and you're always going in a zigzag pattern. Well, guess what? That's just a perfect example of our lives. We don't make it from here to heaven in a straight line. We're going to have ups and we're going to have downs. We're going to have corrections. We're going to have failures. We're eventually going to get there, but it's going to be a winding path. And you need to accept that. And that's the joy of the Advent season. We get to see where the zigs and the zags are so that we can make those mid-course corrections. I want to close with a story I heard years and years ago, and I can't remember the author of it, but he talks about God's parade. God's parade. And he says, at the very beginning, God must have been very striking in his general's uniform with his gold epaulets and his stars and all the accompanying finery that would be in a general's uniform. He said he looked great at the beginning. He said, but with the passing of time, God's uniform has gotten a little frayed around the edges. Because you see, God, his army is, it's you and it's me. And we're kind of a pitiful little army because we tend to be afraid of the dark. And we tend to cry a lot. And we tend to complain a lot. And we tend to wander off in different directions. And God has to go out there and find us and bring us back in again and again and again. But we're still on the march, and God is pretty worn out, but his face still exudes that love for each one of his children. And God is still determined that he's going to bring every last one of his children home, every single last one. No forced marches, no complete exhaustion of the troops. God is there, calling and leading and following, holding our hands when we're crying, and being unto us the perfect general, the perfect leader, the perfect Heavenly Father. Advent is here. The bugle is calling, but not stridently, lovingly, calling us to be on the march that leads to the kingdom, and we don't know when it's coming. But we do know we're marching, and we do know we're together. And we do know God is leading, and that, dear friends, is enough. Let us pray. God, we don't know what your schedule is, and that's probably a very good thing. Because if we did, we'd be so full of anxiety, we would be paralyzed. But we do know that we have today. And we do hope for tomorrow. And we call upon you, O Lord, to guide and lead us into eternity. And that, O Lord, will be enough through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Zion, your Christ is drawing near. Please be seated. Thank you all for the invitation to be here this morning. I'm Reverend Wilson Kennedy, and I'm pleased to be the General Presbyter of Cherokee Presbytery. It is always a good day to be in Dalton, particularly on a day like today, where it feels more like Florida than it does the Georgia mountains outside. My goodness. I do say this to every church, but I must say it here again today, anytime that a new interim pastor begins their ministry with the congregation, that you are in for a treat. As you've already have seen with Ken's wonderful sermon and his presence here, I think you all will thoroughly enjoy your time together, however long it may be, as Ken serves as your interim pastor. Now, what I will say that I don't say at every congregation is Ken is, I think, particularly suited for ministry here in Dalton, besides the fact that he was married at this congregation or in one of the former houses of worship of this congregation. His wife is a native of Dalton. He is also an alum of one of the, well, a double alum of things that are particularly special to me. First, he was part of the, I don't know if I would say illustrious club, but club nonetheless of general presbyters, having served as the general presbyter down in Savannah Presbytery. And not to mention, Ken and I share an alma mater of Union Seminary in Richmond, which, as I say to those who are Columbia Seminary grads, Richmond was founded first. So there is that. So I am glad to be here. And if you would please follow along in this beginning litany to interim ministry. This is something our presbytery does in every congregation that is engaged in interim ministry. If you'll follow along, I'll read some parts. Hilliard is here to read a few others, and we're going to celebrate Ken's ministry here with you as it begins. I do like to note before we begin that you'll notice that it does say a member of our ministry transitions team will have a part in this litany. Unfortunately, Gail Sandlin, who has been here to worship with you before as a member of the ministry transitions team and as your transition liaison, is under the weather today and couldn't make the trip up from Kennesaw, so I'm just going to tack those parts onto mine. So do follow along the words that are printed in your bulletin. Friends, today we mark the establishment of a covenant to begin a season of ministry between the Reverend Dr. Kim McKenzie and First Presbyterian Church of Dalton. The three parties involved in this agreement are the pastor, the congregation, and the presbytery. Pastor Ken has been engaged by the session and approved by Cherokee Presbytery's Ministry Transitions team to provide spiritual leadership, pastoral care, and administrative oversight to the congregation during his season of ministry here. So, on behalf of the presbytery's Ministry Transitions team, I'm pleased to confirm on their behalf that Pastor Ken has been examined and approved for this work. And the Ministry Transitions team affirms your session's wonderful choice and prays that the covenant we've entered may be a source of blessings to us all. A covenant is a promise of faith and practice sealed by the grace of God. So, Ken, before God and in the presence of these witnesses, I ask you the following. Do you promise to be faithful in taking on this new trust and responsibility in serving as the interim pastor of First Presbyterian Church in Dalton? Do you?
I do.
Do you promise to serve the people of First Presbyterian Church with energy, intelligence, imagination, and love? Do you?
I do.
Fellow members of the congregation, do you acknowledge, welcome, and receive Ken to serve as our interim pastor? Do you?
We do.
Do you promise to encourage their ministry here, to pray for them, and to undertake the work that falls to us now as we move with Pastor Ken's help through our next season of ministry? Do you?
We do.
Pastor Ken, please accept our love and care for you as a sign of our commitment to you as our pastor. On behalf of the congregation, we promise to support you and graciously encourage you in your ministry here. May your time here, as long as God continues to call you, be a blessing to you.
Let us pray. Now may God's love and mercy surround and uphold Pastor Ken, the session of First Presbyterian Church, and all who are engaged in ministry here. And may this time of transition and the work with it, with which it is filled, strengthen the church and bring blessing to many throughout this community. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen.
All those good words, I'm just glad to see that the check's cleared. So. Let us stand and join in our affirmation of faith using the historic words of the Apostles' Creed. Children of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. With grateful hearts, O Lord, we begin this journey together, and we ask your presence, guiding and cajoling and helping and healing and calling us forth to always be your people, however marred or scarred we may be. Help us in times of foment and flowering to find our true path that leads to you. Lord, we have many who are in our prayers, those known to us as a congregation, those who are on the periphery of our lives. Be with them all, O Lord, and strengthen them, especially the Passmores. We pray that you would be with Cecilia and hasten her recovery and the joy of that family. Grant, O Lord, that we may find therein our continuing call to be those who love and care for each other, and in so doing show our love for you. Even now, O Lord, come, Lord Jesus, and be with us as we pray the prayer which you taught us, saying when we pray to pray boldly, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now receive our tithes and our offerings as we present them to the Lord.
With grateful hearts, O Lord, we receive unto ourselves that which you first entrusted to us. And having received it, O Lord, may each blessing and each gift find your approval and be used to expand your kingdom. So grant, O Lord, unto us faithful hearts and willing spirits, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From this place in peace, knowing that God is guiding us each and every one, and when we leave the path, he's quick to follow. When we cry, he's quick to dry our tears, and when we complain, he will always listen. And grant that you may extend to each other and to all whose lives you touch that same grace by the power of Jesus Christ. And now go forth in the name of God the Father, who created us, God the Son, who came down to be among us, and the grace of the Holy Spirit, which is sufficient for us all. And all God's people said, Amen.